Well, today is Praise Sunday, so it's time to praise the Lord. What did I say? Psalm 150, I'm reading New Living Translation. You have this, so you be fast. You have it with you. Psalm 150, praise the Lord. Praise God in his, where? Sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre. What? How do you pronounce L-Y-R-E? Lyre? Lyre. Some of you that just came to America, you don't know how to pronounce it. It's lyre. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. That would be our equivalent of a trumpet. We don't use ram song today. If you kill a ram, animal rights groups will come after you. So we use saxophone, we use trumpet, and then praise him with lyre and harp, that's guitar, the things that have instruments. Praise him with the tambourine, it's right there, and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with clash of cymbals, the drums can be that. Praise him with loud, clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord and then praise the Lord. You know, it's important that we start this by reminding us the need for us to live within the Word of God. Most frustrations that people suffer is because they neglect God. The scripture teaches us in Proverbs 4. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my word, sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. It is very important, again, let me remind us, to yield yourself to the guidance of the word of God. There is no greater wisdom for you. Because God knows the end from what? The beginning. And he's the one that really will save you and give you whatever you want. So if he's instructing you how to get about it, is it not wisdom that you cooperate with him? It is so important that we know that the word of God should be sufficient for us. Do not get outside the scripture and look for rituals. They will not help you. Do not get outside the scripture and look for men's wisdom. It's useless. Spiritism and Spiritism, ritualisms, and there's a word I'm searching for. So don't get outside the word of God. I'm begging you. Because if you get outside the word of God, you're in darkness. God is not there. God is only in the light. And his word is what? Is the light. If you want to find him and walk with him, you stay in his word. Again, let me repeat it. The word of God should be sufficient for you. Thank you, man. Look at our brother that shared the testimony here. And I keep saying this here. I've said this since I became a pastor here. You must have a scripture on which you stand. Have I said it before? You won't. And then you wonder why it's not working. The young man said, this is the scripture on which I stood on faith and it worked for me. You must have a scripture. You must. It's compulsory. You can't stand on nothing. There has to be something on which you put your feet. If you say you trust in Christ, you have to bring his word. The young man said, this scripture. I found out how faith works. It is this scripture. I stood on this scripture. With God, nothing is what? Impossible. And he knew that faith in this world worked for him. So he was able to testify. Now, if he didn't have any scriptures to stand on, and the devil hits him, and the people say, we can't pay, and this one says, I can't help you. You know, his mind will go blank. And then he gets into rituals, thinking that it's all this nonsense that people do. That will help you. Again, it's important that the word of God is sufficient for you. Stop doing all these things that people prescribe and then people tell you to do, that really is totally useless. God has no use of it. God is not in it. It's imagination of men that it has to be like this. Amen? So the Bible tells us some benefits of just listening to God. In Psalm 1 verse 2, I'll read the message. Psalm 1 verse 2. It says, Instead you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. You thrill to God's word and you chew on scripture day and night. It says, you are a tree replanted in Eden, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. That's what it does. Always in what? Blossom. Always in what? I met a young man in Canada who told me, said, my business is in shambles. He says, you know, the exchange rate is ruining my business because it's import-oriented. And then he said, every time I wake up, my heart is beating because nobody can. You don't know what the exchange rate is. And my prices are just crashing. I'm just losing money. I'm paying a lot of money. I said, your problem is that you're depending on exchange rate. So the day you start trusting God, the God of heaven will make a way for you where there's no way. I said, that's your problem. I said, no, you're right. I said, before uncle. I've been talking here, I said, exchange rate. You wake up, exchange rate. Is that your God? I said, that doesn't stop God from doing what only God can do. Amen? I said, amen. And then I shared a couple of testimonies with the young man. His faith came up. I mean, he was so excited. Very, very excited. I said, you don't have the word of God in you. If you have it in you, listen to me. The Bible says you will bear fruit all the time. And I told him one thing. I said, the scripture says, in the day of famine, you shall be satisfied. I said, have you read it before? I said, that's what God said. And tell your neighbor what I said. In the day of what? Famine. What did God say? I didn't hear you. So come on, tell him what you said. In the day of famine, you shall be satisfied. Why? The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So he said, you chew on the word. It's your guide. He said, you bear fruit. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, this is King James Version. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we toiled, we have toiled all night. Brethren, the toil of life. How we toil. You look for job all over the place. You do this, you write 20 applications. You toil and toil and toil and toil and toil. You do 24 hours. Non-stop. But the needs don't stop coming. We toil. This man was toiling. He said, Master, we have toiled what? All the night. And these are professionals. I said it here again. If you are in business, if you are doing anything at all, if you deal by the word, it will give you result that others will marvel at. People will marvel at what is happening here. Because when God brings the dimension of his power to bear on the thing, the result is beyond human understanding. It's mind-boggling. Can I hear MM here? I told you a story of the man that invented Caterpillar. A dropout. But he knew the word of God. Knew the word of God. And in the night, God will give him inventions. And then engineers will be wondering where he got the idea. And God began to show him how to construct the things that lift heavy earth. Heavy earth lifters. When nobody knew it, God will show him this is the way it works. And then in the morning, he'll call engineers and say, can you construct this? They say, where did you get it? And then he did 14 inventions for United States government. 14, including Caterpillar. And became the richest man in his time. He was feeding on 1/10 of his income. He gave God 90%. And they said 1/10 of his income was 250 million. Man, if my 1/10 of my income is 250 million, you can take 9/10. Then 250 million, but that about that range. And he was sponsoring Billy Graham's crusade. He was pouring his money as God would direct it. This is faith. And so they were toiling all night. Let's see what happened to Simon Peter. Put it up, please. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Third in prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Nevertheless now, at what? At thy word. I will lay down. Does it make sense? Here are professionals. They say, we don't get nothing here. You tell us to put it when the fish is not there. I planted the church among fishermen, I can tell you. They go in the night, in the evening. They come back in the morning. So when we go to start church, we wait for them to come. And when they come, we cut palm fronds, and that's what we put around. And then God will be working incredible miracles among them. Doing great things among them, right in that place. And so Jesus told them to put that thing when it didn't make sense. And they said, oh, God, you have no idea what you're talking about. We've been doing this all night. All night, we didn't see fish. Is it now? But because you said so, somebody shout hallelujah. Why? Because the Lord of lords and King of kings, the fish obey him, everything obeys him. He's the master of everything. He said, put it there. So when they put it, and when they had this done, they enclosed what? A great multitude of fishes. And what happened? And their net broke. God is the only one that produces meat in the wilderness. Let me tell you. Birds don't fly usually through the desert because it's too hot. You know, birds get their GPS from the stars. They follow it. But they circumvent it because they too want to live. They fly near the shores because they need water. They don't come to the Sahara Desert. Even if you fly across it by aircraft. Thank God when you fly and there's no sandstorm. Because if there's sandstorm, it goes up to 30,000 feet. It can be dangerous. It can knock your plane out. So it's a very harsh environment. But that was where God brought birds. They all started flying there. Because God wanted to feed Israel with meat. And they started coming. From wherever they were coming. Why? The God of heaven and earth wanted them there. And they came. So if God says, put this thing here, you better do it. Because that's where the action is. Now, if you neglect the word of God, you'll be toiling. I'm not saying you won't get anything, but you won't get the type of stuff that if it's God, you will see. You'll be toiling. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So we need to make sure that we're guided by the word of God. Stop in all this stressing yourself for nothing. Just follow what God instructs you. You know, my supervisor, or no, my divisional leader, when I was in Deep Alive Bible Church, very wonderful brother, we used to share. And then, before he got married, didn't have money. And God told him to pick up a job where they paid peanuts. Why they paid what? I don't mean they give him peanuts. I mean peanut a small amount. When I mean peanut, he shared with me. He said, but God is telling me to pick that job. And my wedding is coming. I don't have money. So he picked the peanut job, very far from him. But because God said so, he picked the peanut job. Shortly before his wedding, listen to this. A manager came there, saw his resume, promoted him, gave him company car, raised his money, paid him backlog. He had more than enough money for his wedding. But because God knew who was coming there, I knew what was going to happen. That's why the Bible says, don't walk by sight. You can't walk by faith when you don't know what God is saying. Faith in what? Faith in what now? And if you look down on the word of God and think that these rituals will help you, keep on doing what you are doing. Is it not the experience that will teach you? But the experience will cost you a lot. Can I hear amen? Amen. So what did the Bible tell us about praise? It says in Psalm 150, Psalm 149 from verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. What did he say we should do? Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the what? Timbre. And harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people when they praise him. He will beautify the meek with salvation. And what we read at the beginning, see what the scripture says. It says, praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him with his mighty, for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud, clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you see what the Bible tells us to do. It tells us that we should praise God. And he told us how. So it is up to us to do what God says. Oh, but you know, you say sometimes, I don't feel like praising him. Let's talk about it. Because it's true. Sitting here may be people who don't feel like. Sometimes we don't feel like. Why? Because maybe you had a bad news. Told you something that really is bothering. And then your heart what? Sinks. And they don't want to praise. You don't feel like. Or maybe you have a challenge in life that is we're grappling with for a long time. And it's really discouraging. These are realities of life. Maybe you lost a loved one. And the pain of it is in the heart. Or maybe your ideal dream wife, woman, you didn't marry her. You almost, but you missed out. You are laughing. But let me tell you, a young girl committed suicide in my office because the friend left her. That thing can be bruising. You are laughing. People have died because they didn't marry a particular one. They didn't marry. Am I telling lies? Yeah? They didn't marry a particular woman. They didn't get it. Their heart breaks. They have hypertension. They have a lot of stuff. They go into emotional depression. Ordinarily, that your boyfriend left you, people commit suicide. Am I telling lies? Telling the truth. It's realities of life. Your dream woman, you didn't marry her. Your heart is bruised. Your goal is not met. Expectations are met. You felt God should do this for me, but it's not happening. I should have been here in life, and I'm not there. It bruises your heart, discourages you, and you see your age mates all going up. It happened to David. He said to God, why am I here? And all these evil men are prospering. It can bruise your heart. Somebody can tell you something that will hurt you for years to come. I mean, just talk you down, finish you. These are realities of life. And they're real. Especially if you lose a loved one, it can be painful. And we should sorrow. Shouldn't we? We should sorrow because we're human. We should sorrow. It is okay to sorrow because when you sorrow, you let off steam. But I don't feel like praising. My business is not working. I've been praying. It's not working. I don't feel like praising. Do you have breath? He said, let everything that has breath what? Praise the Lord. That's the answer. Once you have breath, that's what. You want to follow God's word? I warned you in the beginning. I said, let the word of God guide your life. Don't let your feeling guide your life. Yeah, I don't feel like. That's your feeling. But you want God to guide you. God says, let everything that has breath. Praise the Lord. Pastor, but I don't feel like. But you have breath. That's what the Holy Spirit said. Do you have breath? I gave you breath. Praise me. My mentor, the wife, was complaining that she was preaching all over the place. He didn't have time for her. Didn't have time for the complaining and complaining. And one day they were sitting in the church. Real story. Sitting in the church, the man dropped dead. And God said to the woman, now I've taken him. You can sue me. I've taken him. And the woman said, no, I release him. You can have him. Let him do whatever you want. I don't want him to go. God said, well, could you shut your mouth up? And when the woman said, Lord, I repent, that man, they rushed him out. Telling a real story. He died. They rushed him out, brought paramedics, he was gone. All of a sudden, he jumped up, started speaking in tongues, and started dancing all over the place. Why? The breath of life is in the hand of God. That's why God said, if you have breath, if you have breath, if you have breath at all, My friend, if you have breath at all, I'm still walking. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I am still walking. You are still alive. Once there is life, there is a hope. Praise me. And some of these things can create insatiable holes you can't fill in. You have this insatiable, bottomless pit of a desire for empathy, desire for sympathy. You know, you want empathy. You want people to say, oh, sorry. Well, it's good to say sorry. But we shouldn't go beyond what the Bible allows. Say, if we sorrow, we should sorrow like people who know God. There's moderation in all things. Can I hear amen? And then when you see people who are happy, your sorrow rises. So because you think, why should they be happy? Why am I not happy? That's not the best state of mind to be in. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to work on that heart until he makes you very miserable and convinces you that death is better than living. Can I hear amen? Amen. If you are following me, shout hallelujah. This is reality. That's how it is true. That's what happens. This is real life experiences that we do have. But in that situation, you don't allow any of those things to stop you. It can shut you down emotionally. Shut you down emotionally. You can't relate with people. You, no matter what people do, you will not appreciate it. Because your mind is shut down. Your emotion is shut down. In fact, sometimes you want to live in words. You want to talk yourself into yourself and become a sorrow, you know, because that's what you think justifies the situation. And sometimes it pushes you into what you don't do, drinking, drugs, whatever, trying to drown your soul in them. But that's not the answer. Let everything that has breath, what? Praise the Lord. That's what God said. No matter how you feel. No matter how you feel. No matter what they told you. Is there anybody here who hasn't been hurt? They killed my mom. They murdered my mom. And it was youths like me that shot my mom to shreds. Shattered her heart. Shattered my after my father died. Killed her. The doctor told me, he said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. They pumped my mother with bullets and straight at the heart. That was hurtful. And I came to bury my mother. Put sand on my mother. At the prime of life. We pass through hurt. In this world, you shall have tribulations. But let not your heart be troubled. Can I hear hallelujah? Snap out of the thing. Snap out of the thing. Tap your neighbor and say, get out of it. I can show you some things. Look at what the Bible says about that state of mind. In Psalm 127 verse 2. 127 verse 2, it says, it is vain. What is vain? Useless. It is waste of time. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. Say you eat sorrow like bread. He said, for so he gives his beloved sleep. He said, it is vain. That kind of mindset does not work. It doesn't work. It doesn't solve. If I make things worse, let bygone be bygone. God says, forget things that are behind and do what? Press forward, because I do new things every day. Look at Job. When Job lost everything, lost all his children, lost his business, lost everything. And the wife, can you imagine your wife telling you, my friend, you better die. I need to get another husband. This thing is not working out. The wife told him, curse God and what? Check out, my friend, I'm done with you. And that can break your heart. You know, rejection. Rejection is hurtful. It's very, very hurtful. And then your own wife, they used to call you honey, because now you don't have. He's telling you to die. So the wife said, my friend, I've seen enough of these sores all over you. You're smelly. Curse God and what? Take it. Is it one? Take out. That's what he told him. And that's what the devil tells us. Curse God. It's not good to you. Look at what is happening to you. You think God is there for you. My friend, and we foolishly agree. But God said, you talk like foolish women. But let's hear what Job said. Job 19:25. Let's hear what Job said. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after, what kind of Bible is this one that have worms and things like that? Is that King James Version? Do we read King James? Okay, let's read it. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I what? See God. He said, even if worms are eating me, woman, even if worms are eating me, I will still see God. God is real. God is God. God is who he said he is. Woman, let worms eat it. Yeah, let me smell. Yeah. But I will praise him morning, afternoon, and night. That's a human being like you, like me. What will you tell God? Job will stand before you and say, what are you talking about? I passed through terrible loss. What are you talking about, my friend? I was a human being like you. You were born again. You had the Holy Spirit. I didn't have. I had no pastor to teach me nothing. I lived when there were no Matthew, Mark, Peter, and things. But you read all of them. And you read about me. And the Holy Spirit referred the church to Job. He said, but you know the patience of Job, how he endured. He who has ear to hear, let him hear. Look at verse 15, Job 13:15. Oh, because slaughter things, eh? Get angry with God, get angry with everybody. Look at Job. Though he slay me, though he what? Even if he kiss me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. That's our attitude. That's what the Spirit of God wrote for us to learn from. And David, at a point in his life, he lost everything, his wife, his children. And not only that, all his commanders lost their wife and children. They were taken into captivity. And when David came there, he didn't know what to do. They wanted to kill him. Praise the Lord. So let me see what David said. If I find it. If I don't find it, we go on. 1 Samuel 36. For David was greatly distressed. Not mildly distressed. David was what? Greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people were grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. They lost everything. But what did David do? Come on, what did David do? Come on, church, what did David do? Encourage himself in the Lord, his God. David says, his praise shall continually be my mouth. Said, I'm not going to lose this thing. First Thessalonians 5:18. First Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give what? Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So you don't quench the Spirit of God. You don't stop him from walking. You got to praise him. If you got what I'm saying, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, we need to praise him with faith. Because you see, if God is God, we need to bring the attitude that tells him he's God. If you go to the president of your country, if, I don't know the president of your country, good luck, Jonathan, or whatever. They've changed that one. Let me say, this brother is the president of this country. We are a country here. And we come to see him. Do you know? He will read our attitude. The attitude I bring before him will show whether I really mean what I'm saying or not. And if the words you say may not really portray exactly honor for him. It is your word and your attitude that shows you are honoring this man. But there's a way I will come to him and say the same things. But looking at me, he knows it's not from my heart, and I don't have regard for him. If you are getting me, shout hallelujah. You must come to God with an attitude that says you are God, and I honor you, and I fear you, you are God. I respect you, you are God. You don't come with this attitude of, you know, nonchalant. When you go to see Obama, they will school you how to come. You don't walk in there anyhow. They will school you. Ask people. If you want to see the Queen of England, they will teach you basic manners what to do. You don't see the Queen, you don't go near. There's a distance you must stop. If you go near, the whole British press will tear you to shreds. And when you see the Queen, you must bow. Every British citizen, watch, ask people. The Queen, you must what? If you're a lady, or you must, if you're a man. And you don't take the Queen by the hand like this. Come, my brother. You don't shake the Queen like this. You don't do that. If you are coming, you stop. The Queen will say, it is on the tip that you touch the Queen. You don't shake. You don't go and show, hold the, who are you? Sit down. Thank you. So we say, I'm from Abba. The Secret Service will see you immediately after that. They say you are showing aggression. I'm not joking. They say you are showing what? Maybe you have intent to harm the Queen. You'll be in trouble. They investigate you. They will, if you do that to the president, they will investigate you. They will follow you for years. You won't know. At the airport, they call your name. Put you on no-fly. Yes, because you are showing aggressive attitude to the president. Any president, whether it is Obama or Putin, any president that's well protected, they watch for aggressive attitude. And then now we want to say to God, I want to praise you. And my attitude is, come on. And God searches every heart. Praise the Lord. And God what? Searches. I want to ask us, the Queen and God, who takes more honor? You know, one time when I refused to be a pastor, I really refused for 10 years. I said to God, I don't want to be a pastor. I want to be a pharmacist. I went to school to be a pharmacist. I said, you made me to make money. I'm a businessman. So I want to travel. I love traveling. Man, I was traveling all over the world. Business, traveling. Business class. At BO, when British BOAC was flying, flew all this Pacific, Cathay Pacific. I flew all manner of things, man. I mean, Boeing 747, upper deck. You sit there and be a big man. What are you telling me? I said to God, I don't want to be a pastor. I want to be a businessman. One time he asked me a question. I was on my back on it, very miserable. I had high blood pressure. I didn't want to be a pastor. He said, look at the papa. Look, he said, what do they do? I said, it's a factory. He said, what do those people produce? I said, they produce products, materials. He said, what do the managers there do? I said, they sell those things and they manage it. Then he kept quiet. He said, what does a pastor do? I was thinking, I said, well, you know, he teaches people. He said, how about their souls? I said, yeah. He gives accounts, so he manages their souls. They asked me a question. He said, God and those companies, who pays more? I said, you pay more. And that was dead silence. That was all he asked. And all of a sudden, a plane was passing. From nowhere, brother, this series, from nowhere, I just pointed and said, one day I'll leave this country, fly like this, to where I'll preach the gospel. I didn't know where I came from. Let me tell you, God is God, though. God is what? Let the earth tremble. He has the whole earth where? His hand. Don't treat him like a kid. He's not your classmate. He's not your classmate, man. He's not your classmate at all. All the angels, they don't even look at him. They cover their face. The glory of God is too much for angels. That's what he gave you because of Christ. And no appreciation. So when we bring praise to God, let's bring praise due his name, that is God Almighty. And then you bring him praise. I don't know. You know, one time the Lord said to me, he said, the offering you give me, should I tell you this? Do I tell them everything about me? So they talk about it. said, the offering you give me. He said, times it by four in the month. How much is that? I told him. He said, how much is your salary? He said, what is the proportion? He said, if you have faith in me, you give me by faith. And I increased it. When I increased it, I didn't have money to pay it. I'm telling the true story. I increased it, I didn't have money to pay. But believe you me, since I increased it to today, I have always paid it. And how, I can't tell. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't give God things that exalt him. Don't give him casual things. Want to give God praise, you just quickly look for $5. And then if you see $10, you put it back and pull out $5 and check it again. You're insulting God. Read your Bible, Malachi 1:7. Malachi 1:7. You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask me now, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defied them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect whatsoever. Then when you give blind animals as sacrifices, you know blind animals is the one you don't want. Come on, church. The one that, you know, you can do without. Blind animals are sacrifices. Isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? The ones you don't want. Leftover. That's what we give God. You have, in your savings, you have thousands that God gave you, thousands over the years. And you want to praise God, you bring $50. And you have thousands saved there. And you are praying God to give you more. If I'm God, when you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor. Go now. Try giving it to your in-laws when you want to marry their daughter. See how far you come. You come to in-law. She say, in-law, I love you people. I want to marry your daughter. And what you bring them is blind animal. They will tell you to go and come back another time. Because it's an insult. God says, take what you are giving me. Take $50 and go and give to Obama. Obama is visiting. Even when Reverend Fathers and Pastors visit, I know how we used to prepare. You know, well, they have respect now. They say the Reverend Father doesn't eat a type of yam. There's a type of yam he eats. It's the one that is soft and white. And then women will start cooking in the morning. The goat we give him is there. The eggs, women have piled up eggs in the whole distance. Am I telling lies here? And we're giving to a man that serves God. But when it comes to God, give him like that. God says, take that thing you are giving me, go and give it to your governor. See what he will say. And see how pleased he is. The next verse. Verse 9. Go ahead. Beg God to be merciful to you now. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Verse 10. How I wish one of you should shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord of heaven's hand. I will not accept your offerings. There are offerings God doesn't accept. It's not everything you drop here that God takes. Billy Graham was given an offering once, and his neighbor was giving more than him. So he changed it, and God said, the one you are bringing now is because of your neighbor. So I'm not taking it. So you just want to, because of your neighbor. So I'm not taking that one. I want to say something. I want you to listen. Don't write. Please listen. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to what? Anything you do that is without faith can please God. I don't care what that is. Because without faith, that thing you are doing is impossible to please. So if I bring offering without faith, that offering doesn't please. Anything a man does that is without what? Faith. That thing can't please God. In fact, the Bible says it is sin. It's not acceptable. If you want to give God an offering, give him offering that shows you have faith in him. That he's God. Praise the Lord. Psalm 39, Psalm 29 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats with overflow, will overflow with good wine. So what I ask myself is, if I want to give God something, I usually will ask him, Lord, what will I give you that honor you? I know this thing we're doing. I knew what I was thinking, and the Lord said to me, would that honor me? Think of all my goodness to you. And I said, yeah, that's true. And I upped it again. And then I had joy. I had peace. He has accepted it before I'm coming here. I don't know if that flew over your head. He has already what? Accepted it before I drop it. Because I'm giving it by faith in his word. Do you know, brethren, that you can't praise God in a strange land? You can't bring praise in a strange land. Israel was taken captivity. They were in captivity. They said, "For in Psalm 137, they said, for they that carried us away captive required us a song. And they that wasted us required of us myth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion." The question is, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange world? If you're a Christian and you're living in a strange land, you don't have any song for God. A strange land is where you have no respect for Jesus. You are living in the world. You don't have respect for Jesus. That's a strange land. The Bible says the voice of the stranger, the children of God don't hear. When you start living in a strange world, in a strange land, you are living in the world that you're not supposed to. You have no respect for Jesus whatsoever. You are just a nominal Christian. You do whatever you like. Nobody controls you. That's a strange land. And of course, your spirit is not alive. And the Bible says the dead cannot praise God. You have to be alive to see what God is doing before you can praise him. A dead spirit doesn't see anything. It's so selfish. It's only him and more of him. Giving. It's not in his dictionary. So you can't praise God if you're in a, and you know what I'm talking about now. If you're in a strange land where you're grudging and grumbling and you don't really care about Jesus, if they say we're praising God, you're going to sit down. You don't know what they're doing. The thing doesn't excite you because you're in a strange land. But you need to get out of there because that's the land of death. The Bible says if you hate your brother, for instance, it says you are in darkness and you don't know where. How can you praise God when you are in darkness? It's not going to work. What I'm trying to tell you people is if you want to benefit from your giving to God, give it in faith. If you give it in faith, God multiplies it for you. Praise the Lord. Now, when we do it correctly and we praise God in faith, we praise God in honor and respect for him, it brings tremendous benefit. It brings the presence of God manifesting in your life like nothing else. It manifests in your life in a way that is incredible. Look at 2 Chronicles 5:13. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for, let's say it, what did they say? For his good, for his mercy, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord has filled the house of God. The presence of God manifested. For God is fearful in praises. Then 2 Chronicles 20:20. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." 21. After consulting the people, the king appointed who? singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. That is what they sang. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. 22. At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of the Ammon, Moab, Mansell to start what? Fighting among themselves. At the very moment you start praising God, honoring him, giving him due honor due his name, at the very moment, God will cause your enemies to start fighting themselves. Amen. Look at verse 23. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mansell and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. Verse 24. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were what? Dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Can I hear amen? Amen. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out and gathered the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables. Remember, we sing it, the walls of Jericho came down. Today, the walls will come down. Amen. I'm telling you, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But you know, I want to warn us about murmuring and complaining. Don't let the devil put it in your mouth. It doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. Murmuring and complaining is a dangerous thing to do. It looks simple, but there is nobody who murmurs and complains who prospers. No. It will take away what you have. Just the same way that praise brings the manifestation of the presence of God, the same way murmuring brings the manifestation of Satan. No difference. The same way praise will bring the manifestation of God, the same way murmuring will bring the presence of who? Satan. The same way. They are not different. Look at it in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up early to play. 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 320,000. 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by of serpents. 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and we are blessed by God. What happened to them? Destroyed of destroyer. Now, all these things, church, all these things happened unto them for example. And they are written for our own admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, let him fall. You must wipe out memory. Nothing is worth memorying about, because it will attract the devil into your life. The Bible says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My prayer is that as we bring praise this afternoon, bring it with honor. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. Bring something that honors him. Sing in a way that honors him. Show with your attitude that you are coming to the presence of the Almighty God, so that the blessings of God will go with you. And the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. I want a bigger amen there.
Amen.
Before I stop, I want to make a call, because that's where this thing starts. If you've never given your life to Christ Jesus, if you've never, I want you to lift up your hand. I went to Canada and I called. The first time I used Uber. And my driver came and took me. As we were going to the airport, the Lord said to me, preach the gospel to him. And I started to preach the gospel to him. He said, no. He said, I don't want to give my life to Jesus. I said, why? He said, I'm not fit. I'm not qualified. I said, no. I said, why are you not qualified? He said, I'm a sinner. I said, exactly. You are the one Jesus is looking for. I said, look at me. I said, I'm a pastor. I said, I'm not good either. He said, pastor, you're not good. I said, yeah. I said, only Jesus is good. I said, that's why he hangs out with me. He's looking for those who are not good, so he can make them good. I said, if you are not good, we are the same now. So let's go to Jesus together. He said, I'm going with you. They say, pastor, I've met with a lot of pastors and Christians. Nobody has explained this thing the way you explained it. He said, if he's so, then I want Jesus now. Very easy. I said, yeah, he wants you. And the right there in the taxi, he gave his life to Christ and gave me his number. Give me his name. And he's from Haiti. And he's coming to church here pretty soon. Why? Because he saw that Jesus really cares for him. That Jesus is not looking for good people. He's looking for anybody who wants help so that Jesus will make him good. And I told him, I'm not better than you. I said, I depend on the mercy of God too. He said, Pastor, you? I said, yes, now. He said, the same mercy that's keeping me will keep you. Come to Jesus and accept the same mercy. And the man willingly came. I'm asking, is there anybody here who knows that this pastor says, I'm not better than you? I depend on the mercy of Jesus. And you want the same mercy of Jesus Christ to save your life and to keep you. Can you lift up your hand? Lift up your hand. Lift it, wherever you are. I want to see your hand so we can pray with you. And then you meet my Lord Jesus, and then his mercy will work for you. He will save you. He will save you and deliver you right now. Yeah, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.